When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, folks. We are broadcasting live from 4454 Transcontinental, one of the locations provided by Metropolitan Health Group, and we've partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank, and we've got a lot of folks that have come by and dropped some groceries by here, so come on by. They've got champagne. They've got cheese tray, fruit trays. They've got sandwiches. Come on by, say hello, and spend a little time with us. And I know that Representative Troy Carter, who joins us now, would love to come by, but where are you now, Troy?
I am stuck. Newell, how are you today? I am stuck in Washington, D.C. trying to pass a budget.
A continuing resolution that has some important money for North Carolina. You know, we know and how they feel there in the aftermath of a destructive storm, right?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, and I think you and I share this position. Having these continuing resolutions is not the best way to govern. You can't govern month by month, and this continuing kicking down the road is just not the most responsive or best way to govern. And we find ourselves tied once again on these 5 and 6 month extensions on a budget. Which, again, is unfair to the American people. It's unfair to our senior citizens who are waiting for their Social Security checks. It's unfair to our military personnel who are serving at home and abroad. It's unfair to all of our federal employees who are dedicated employees wondering if they're going to be furloughed. Some things, by its very nature, will be political and will be partisan. Our budget should not be. And certainly as it relates to disaster recovery funds, the people in North Carolina and throughout our country are desperately waiting on resources to be able to rebuild their businesses, rebuild their homes. And yet we have completely depleted our DRF. And as we talked about on the last time I was with you, we should have a never-ending, always self-replenishing disaster recovery fund so we never find ourselves in this position again.
Troy, when was the last federal budget passed?
Oh, gosh. You know, we've been doing these continuing resolutions for a minute now. So, unfortunately, the last one has been a few years ago. Because each time, we keep doing the 3 and 4 and 5 months. We have not had a permanent budget since our Speaker Mike Johnson has been in place, nor have we had one when the previous Speaker. So I would say the last time was when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, obviously, what happens with the new administration coming in. But we really wanted to talk to you today about a bipartisan piece of legislation that you and Congressman Mike Ezell introduced called the Capacity Building for Business Districts Pilot Program Act. That's a mouthful.
These names are pretty long, man. the names for our acts are so long and sometimes misleading. But this one is not misleading. It's long, but it does speak to our ability to demonstrate our sincerity about supporting small businesses. We often hear people say small businesses are the background, the backbone of our community, yet they're are still lots of things that we can do to demonstrate that we really feel that way. So my dear friend, Mike Ezell, who is from our neighboring state, Mississippi, and I came together to sponsor this bill, which will create tailored programming and assistance and grant dollars to assist Main Street programs, economic development organizations that are community-based, to really highlight the value of what we have in New Orleans. Look at the Old Algiers Main Street program that has been incredibly successful. Look at Old Gretna when we look at the mix of homes and beautiful cafes and shops. This is demonstrating the importance of protecting that whole mom-pop small business atmosphere that is so unique and important to our culture, particularly in Louisiana. This bill provides additional resources to aid those Main Street programs, to provide grants, not only for people to start new businesses, but in this environment, to be able to maintain their businesses. So I'm very proud of this bill. Mike Ezell, the dear friend, very proud that this is being done in a bipartisan way, in a time when bipartisanship has not been as heralded as I hope it will be as we go forward, to continue to fight to demonstrate that regardless of our parties, we can still work together for the betterment of our people.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned a couple of projects, both Algiers and Gretna. And the interesting thing about both of those, it's almost like they had to create the destination, right? I mean, there was some historic significance there, obviously. But because of the growth patterns of our community, it kind of moved around them, right?
That's exactly right. And that's the value of the Main Street programs. Main Street programs are very deliberate. They go into areas that, but for their presence and resources like this bill, they might be forgotten. There may not be opportunities for an organization to benefit these small businesses. So they end up being jack-o'-lantern, one here, one there, with no real resources to assist them in marketing, advertising. We know that Eldridge Point is wonderful with its historic homes and its character. We know that Old Gretna is wonderful with its historic homes and its character. But oftentimes when we look at the grand scape of advertising for our economic development, our tourist dollars, you don't always get them. We talk about the big cities. We talk about the Garden District. We talk about places that are heavily populated. And we oftentimes, but for Main Street programs in bills such as this, we would miss an opportunity to highlight significant small businesses and neighborhoods and communities that are a real treat for people to see. And we should not allow them to die on the vine, hence the significance of this bill.
Absolutely. So, Troy, when are you guys getting out of there? Not soon
your
enough?
Your crystal ball is probably better than mine, sir. looks like we are. So we just had our votes pushed up from 4 o'clock to 1:30. We know that the CR was released late last night. It's a 1,500-page document, so we're all feverishly pouring through it to make sure those things that are important to us are there. Unless Speaker Johnson waives the 72-hour rule, we're going to be stuck here until Friday. But the good part about it is we have $100 billion in the CR for disaster recovery. We have another $10 billion in it as well. So this gives us at least the comfort of knowing that we've stopped kicking this can for the moment, and at least we can deal with people who are still suffering from the last two hurricanes that have devastated our communities. But we also, because of our ever-changing climate, we know that storms come in places we never expected them before. It's not just the very predictable timing of the year when hurricane season begins. We know that wildfires and mudslides and flooding and hurricanes in places that have never had them before and natural disasters all over the country are happening. And now our brothers and sisters in other states who have not had to endure this as frequently as we have now understand, listen, we have to keep this pot flowing and we have to be ever ready We don't need to recreate the wheel when storms come, when natural disasters come. But we have to make sure that we have funds that are available and ready to be dispatched and dispersed to these communities that need it most. Listen, this is not rocket science. You know, there's a lot of things that we can get and redo in Congress, and we certainly need to revisit the Stafford Act, as I've been working on, to end some of the antiquated practices, to expedite getting resources to people who need them. If we're serious about protecting our communities and supporting our small businesses, you know, let's look at making sure that SBA always has the resources it needs. Let's make sure that FEMA always has the resources that it needs, because we know Katrina and many other storms have taught us this. When those waters rise, they don't care about your party. They don't care about your race. They don't care about how much money you have in your bank account. And we should treat it that way as well.
And this is not a criticism of FEMA, but is there a thought process going on in D.C. at all about, you know, one of the downsides of FEMA, it's really a part-time organization, right? It's not a full-fledged. It kind of ramps itself up in the immediate advance of a storm and immediately afterwards. And because of that, there's all kinds of challenges. I mean, in North Carolina right now, they're having trouble again with trailers. I mean, you remember the issues that we had. It would seem to me by now we would have figured the trailer thing out, right?
You would think. And that's a part of what I keep saying about this is not rocket science. We should learn from the mistakes of the past. We saw that road home, something that was intended to be really good, didn't work out as well as it should. So we've learned from that. We've learned that that these trailers that should have in theory worked out weren't the most efficient. But, you know, some of these things we still try to pull from a 1990s playbook, or early 2000 playbook, and we should be creating new and more efficient ways of doing it. So FEMA should be ever ready, self-standing, and it should not be treated as something that is an adjunct to something else. Many of us have been fighting for that as a part of the discussions that we have with rewriting the Stafford Act, which determines how these funds flow. You know, this is, again, and I'm proud to say that I've been working with a bipartisan group of members of Congress to come up with ideas on how we can be more efficient and use best practices to make sure that FEMA is functioning properly, most efficiently, and most importantly, in 2025, we shouldn't be doing things that we did in 2000.
No, absolutely not. Well, good luck getting out of there on Friday, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family. I hope you have a great holiday season, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Always. Thank you so much, Newell. Have a fantastic holiday yourself, my friend. Hopefully I'll see you somewhere about during the Christmas cheer. If not, give my very best to your family and keep doing great work. Bless you.
Thank you, sir. U.S. Representative Troy Carter from District 2. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We are broadcasting live from the Metropolitan Health Group offices at 4454 Transcontinental. They have been great corporate partners. They partnered up with Second Harvest Food Bank. We have been collecting groceries here all morning, and you can continue to bring them by all day today and through the end of the week if you desire, and we'll get it on over to Second Harvest. And if you want to make a donation, you can call Second Harvest Food Bank at 504-355-0025. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We are at the Metropolitan Health Group office at 4454 Transcontinental, and you can bring by these grocery goods all week long if you'd like, and we'll make sure they get to Second Harvest Food Bank. And joining us right now actually is Natalie Jarrow, President and CEO of the Second Harvest Food Bank. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you so much to Metropolitan Health Group for this tremendous opportunity.
Bobby Harvey and his team have been great corporate partners on so many different fronts, and we certainly appreciate that. So give us kind of an update of what's going on at Second Harvest.
So, and I was thrilled to hear that one of your team members was a board member 30 years ago for us. Awesome. So we were kind of talking about how things may have changed a little bit. So we're doing about 40 million meals a year now across South Louisiana. We cover 23 parishes from the Mississippi to the Texas borders. You know, we're really the place where the community comes together to solve this issue of food insecurity. You know, from a former life, what that was like. We depend on the folks that volunteer their time. We depend on people that donate their money. We depend on the food drives like the one you're doing here today. And we just kind of take all this incredible generosity and try to do good things with it. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today in particular, because we're here, is our connection with healthcare. Because we know hunger in this country is really about nutrition and health. So I love this connection. Increasingly, we're doing pantries and oncology departments of major hospitals. We have a rolling grocery store that sells discounted groceries, and we take that into what we call food desert areas. And one of those happens to be Lafayette General. Mm-hmm. And so when people come in to get their Medicare and Medicaid treatments, they can shop at our mobile grocery store and then get transported home again. So we're always looking for that opportunities to do more with what we've got and work in partnership.
Absolutely. And you guys are, I understand, in an expansionary mode, too. Y'all are really, I mean, I know what went on in the southwest portion of Louisiana, and you were trying to manage a lot of that from afar, which is tough.
Yes, thank you. We were so grateful to get a couple of sizable gifts recently, well, in the last few years. Partly as a result, I think, of the work we did in COVID and the work we've done so many years with disasters. But that gave us the opportunity to think a little bit further ahead than we've done in the past. So we have a facility in Lake Charles. We purchased the facility we lease in Lafayette. And with the diocese down in Houma Thibodaux, we're renovating another facility. And we know that that is the answer to getting more food into those areas. Because as you rightly point out, sending things out from New Orleans takes an hour and a half to get down to Houma. We can only put so much on a truck. We can only get so many donations from our local grocery stores and transport it back and forth. So having the good fortune to be able to think ahead, we're so, so grateful. Now we're going to be able to serve the entire southern part of the state and do a better job in each. That will free up resources here, make a bigger difference in the greater New Orleans area, too.
Yeah, it's always good to have that forward command post, so to speak, mm-hmm. right, or that advanced team out there. I mean, I know you guys were trying to run these operations, traveling back and forth from mm-hmm. from New Orleans. When we are faced with a storm, it's difficult. What normally takes an hour might be a 3.5-hour trek.
Absolutely.
Everything gets slowed down, and I know you guys are like me. I was always impatient. You wanted to get the stuff there yesterday, right?
We want to be there to help the minute. You know, in disasters, we like to talk about being here beforehand so the mm-hmm. community knows us. They know to call on us. We talk to all our emergency managers beforehand. We go to work alongside the National Guard and our first responders, and then for the recovery, as long as it takes for families to put their lives back together and their communities back together. So, yeah, you've got an operations background. It's a big logistics thing for us. The closer we can get to a community and a neighborhood, the more difference that we can make, and the more decisions we can make in the neighborhood, which helps the neighborhood tremendously.
And I know that you know the connection that my wife's family had to your location. My father-in-law ran a cold storage public warehousing right there where y'all are. We ultimately ended up able to sell that facility to you guys, and I understand it's worked out masterfully.
It has. I'm so grateful every day I walk into that and think about your family's connection with us. I think FEMA ran that warehouse after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, and we had some offsite storage there. Mm-hmm. But when it was time for us to expand, your wife's family made it possible, you know, made that deal possible for us to go from a 30,000 square foot warehouse to a 200,000 square foot warehouse. And I will tell you, we fill every ounce of it now. every ounce of it. We could use more space. In fact, we had to lease some space recently for more food, but that's what's allowed us to get to 40 million meals. The food is out there. We just needed a place to store it and a place to bring trucks in and out to kind of move it around the whole southern part of the state. So we built a kitchen, the first thing we did.
I remember seeing that kitchen. Uh-huh. It was absolutely incredible.
More than a million meals a year now. So proud of the fact that we work with 5 councils on aging. We really, really are focused on our seniors as well as our kids. Kids after school and summer feeding programs, seniors, we know that that's an overlooked, vulnerable group of folks. So the fact that we're now doing the Meals on Wheels program for 5 parishes and hopefully more in the future, and we focus on the quality of the food, and that's what we want our seniors to have, the same kind of food that we eat. So we're really proud of that and happy that you guys gave us the opportunity to do it.
And one of the things I miss was the old Thanksgiving thing.
Oh, yes.
You know, I had a benefactor that supported it who always wanted to remain anonymous. You know who he
mm-hmm.
is. But we fed a lot of people.
You sure did.
It was great.
That was an incredible Thanksgiving effort. I think about it every year. We're now up to maybe 4,000 turkeys that we give out, but we purchase that product now. Not like you made that all possible for us, and that just helped us reach a lot of people. But I also loved working with the sheriff's department because that's the connection, again, in the community, in the neighborhoods. You know where the need is. We're here to support, you know, the work that you want to do to reach out to the community.
So. Ran into one of the guys that was really the mover and shaker in that organization the other night at Drago's, and hadn't seen him mm-hmm. in a while, but you know, we talk about that all the time, about and people really like coming together to do that.
You know, and this time of year is a time of year when people think about, you know, food banks and folks that may not have as much, and we generally raise a lot of funds at this time of year, but we use those funds to help support our organization year round. But I also think about this time of year as a time of hope. So, you know, it's tough to have to think about how am I going to afford enough nutritious food. It's heartbreaking over the holidays to think you may not have enough for yourself and your family. So we're also giving people hope as well as the nutrition, and I think that's a huge
part of it. It's harder than ever right now.
Inflation.
I mean, food inflation. And I think it's harder in the food area than in most areas.
It absolutely is. And we've seen people talk about it, but the reality is, you know, we had hoped after COVID, for instance, that people would get back to work and it'd be easier to take care of themselves and their families, and that did not happen because of inflation. It has hit everyone. And we all know, we all see how much it costs us in the grocery store.
Well, you see it in the purchase products that y'all have to, you know.
Absolutely. So our operational costs go up as well. But, you know, I think about individuals. I certainly went through times in my life where I had to count my pennies, you know, decide how much money I was going to put, you know, have for gas and how much I was going to use to buy groceries. And oh my gosh, I can't imagine what it's like for folks in grocery stores now. So I love the mobile market program because that's a fairly new one for us, but we buy that product and then sell it for about 30% less than you can get in a retail store. And we go into communities. So we had a councilman approach us for the Avondale Wagaman mm-hmm. area. And now we do a weekly mobile market there in a community where there isn't a retail grocery store. And it's just it has tremendous, and the council person, Councilman Lee, said to us, the number one thing I hear from my folks, I remember you telling me this too,
yes,
with all the work you did as sheriff, the number one thing that shocks him is how many people were food insecure in his community.
How many people don't have a hot meal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had that experience with our band program. How many kids, when they would write back to us, what did they like most about the band camp, or this was not the uniform, was not all the stuff that we gave them. It was the hot meal that we served them every day.
And we love that, because if we can bring a hot meal to a library, to a healthcare entity, we're doing more and more home deliveries now because some people can't make it to our partners, our 500 partners. The more that we can do that, we hope that we're adding an enticement. Mm-hmm. Come to the program, you learn band, you participate in an activity, and you get a good meal to eat. So it's a win-win, and that's what makes, you know, this that's what we love to see.
We have someone walking in with groceries right now. We really appreciate that. But Natalie, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you're busy at this time of year. We appreciate it, and we certainly appreciate Metropolitan Health Group and all that they've done. They've been great corporate partners on so many different fronts, and I think you will create a great partner relationship with these folks as well.
It is wonderful to be here. Thank you, Metropolitan Health Group. Thank you again for the opportunity. It's so good to spend time with you.
It's good to see you. It's been a long time.
It has
been
a while. And all the ways you've been a leader in our community to make things happen.
Well, thank you so much. And best of luck to you. And Merry Christmas and
happy
holidays.
Yes, Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family.
And I know you said you had three grandkids now.
Yes.
So that's
it's all about grandbabies.
Priority
love. Oh, it is. Absolutely. I can't wait to spend time with them.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're broadcasting live from Metropolitan Health Group at 4454 Transcontinental Drive. They're open all day today, tomorrow, the next day. They'll be taking these contributions. Or if you want to make a donation, you can call the Second Harvest Food Bank at 504-355-0025. We'll be right back. Well, folks, we've had a great time here today at Metropolitan Health Group at 4454 Transcontinental. Beautiful offices. And joining me again is Robert Dewson, office administrator here. You know, Robert, while the show's been going on, patients have been coming in and I've been just kind of watching. And they really don't sit down in the weight room.
No,
They've walked in, they've checked in, and the next thing I know, they're going into a patient room.
Yeah,
in the back, and they're going through the process, and they're walking out, and not a single person, and it's been well over a dozen, have sat down anywhere.
Yeah, it is a well-oiled machine. They come through. We don't like to keep people waiting, so when they come in, we get them in and out as soon as possible. We know everybody has jobs and families and stuff to take care of, so we want to get them on the road as soon as we can, feeling better.
Absolutely. So, Robert, talk to us about, you guys reach out into the community and do so many different things, and y'all have been great corporate partners throughout. What motivates you guys, and what has the experience been for you and this organization?
Well, we have so many patients of different walks of life, and our offices are all over the city, so you get to know your patients. And being a part of the community and doing something like we're doing here with Second Harvest is really special for us. This is a game changer, and we feel really good about it. As far as motivation, it's just helping people every day as much as we can. That's what we do.
Absolutely. We talked earlier, obviously y'all are in the process of expanding as well, looking for other locations, and I said to Bobby earlier that, these primary care facilities, they seem like they're a lot, but it's hard to get in to see physicians these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most cases that's the deal. You have to wait weeks and weeks sometimes to get an appointment here at same-day appointments at their convenience. And we offer Saturday hours and late hours on Tuesday just to help out, get around everybody's schedule.
And what you find, too, as you describe, your patient comes in many shapes and sizes and forms, and some folks are not nimble in their job.
Correct.
They're not able to leave, and that's why it's important to have these after-hours appointments available during the week for them to visit.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Many of them have children. We invite the children to come in, and, sometimes that's controlled chaos, but it's a very family-oriented environment all day here, from open to close and now late hours.
And that has to be pretty rewarding, right?
I
saw a lot of patients walking out with smiles on their face.
Yeah, And seeing you up here up front makes everybody,
Right.
We're always doing something nice, and this is real special. So,
And we had the opportunity to meet a number of people that came in and brought groceries today. A gentleman just walked in. He's actually from South Florida. He's here taking care of his dad. And it turns out his dad used to work for WWL Radio back when they were in the Fairmont Hotel back in the 60s.
Wow.
And he was reminiscing about the times that he'd go down there and see and spend time with his father. It's so it's just so rewarding to hear these stories and their connections and people coming back.
Yeah. Now, we are so thrilled to have you and Second Harvest here. It has been a wonderful day, and I think we've raised some good money, and I know we brought in a lot of food today. So that's been good. It's been a real blessing to have them here, and I think we're going to try to keep on doing stuff like this and working with people like Second Harvest.
So we're into the holidays, and I guess you guys have y'all will be open with exception of what, Christmas and New Year's Day.
Basically, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day will be closed, but Saturdays will be open all the way.
So through the holidays.
And,
The website here, people that have an interest in going to the website to learn more about you guys is.
Yeah. That's www.lmmc.net, and you can schedule patients through there, see all of our physicians, our staff, pictures of all the locations, and learn a little bit about everything we do, which is quite a lot, you know, to make sure that someone injured in an accident can get feeling better as soon as possible. You know, x-rays on scene at every location, et cetera. So we're well equipped.
Absolutely. Robert Dussum, thank you so much.
Thank
office
you,
administrator.
Thank you so much for
here
coming
at the Transcontinental office at 4454 Transcontinental. You guys will continue to collect items, you know, if people want to get by. It doesn't have to be today. If it didn't work for today, come by tomorrow, whatever.
Yep.
And we'll make sure that we get it to Second Harvest on your behalf. And we really appreciate all the folks that have come out today.
Thank you so much.
And the generosity of them financially as well. And thank you for hosting us here.
Our pleasure. No, it's been fun. It really has. And we're going to keep on keeping on with the food. And please stop by and bring some. We want to help out.
So. All right, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're broadcasting live from Metropolitan Health Group at 4454 Transcontinental. And we've partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank. So bring those groceries on by. We'll be right back to check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way in just a moment. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
All right, so that report about Matt Gaetz may be released after all, and if it turns into a book, it's going to be under erotic novels at the library, so that should be interesting. I haven't read one of those in a while. I will talk about Trump wanting to end birthright citizenship in America, and he wants to straighten out the press.
All right, Scoot's headed your way with a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great evening. We'll see you again in the morning.